Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Beth Wee Radio Hour, an hour dedicated to helping you find connection so you can live your best life.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Beth Walsh Erickson in the studio with my partner in crime, Lee Kimball. How are you doing today, Lee?
I'm just a thrill a minute.
Isn't that your common answer? So if you don't say that, we'll know there's something up.
Well, you know, there could be something up because it's my pat answer.
Okay. Oh, so it might be you're hiding underneath it.
Frequently, like a cashier will say to me, how are you? And I'll say, having a blast. And she goes, yeah, me too. I go, oh, another liar.
She'll get it. Yeah. You know, today we have an interesting topic. We were talking this week with some friends, and you know, some people get what we call stuck. Some are like stuck in a rut emotionally, or some are just stuck in a job, or stuck here, stuck there.
In a pattern.
And they feel like they can't get out of it. And they feel like life isn't great. It's okay. It's blasé. And basically, you know, that's not a way to live. We want everybody to thrive. I mean, it's great to live, but take the L away and add the THR. You know, and thrive. It makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Kind of the opposite of settling.
Yeah. Well, you know, every now and again, all of us feel like we're stuck. You know, life's going on, but it's almost like you're not along for the ride anymore. Life's just going by you. It's
going
more like you're watching it, like watching a train go by, you know, instead of being on the train. And you feel blah. You make dates with a half gallon of ice cream instead of with friends, you know? You make dates with a bottle of wine instead of with a group that would, you know, do yoga or do something you like to do, move, you know, salsa dance or whatever it is that you like to do.
Which are both symptoms of isolation. You withdraw.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like inertia becomes your middle name.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of, your address has been changed to include the exact location of your couch.
And again, it's just, you know, our old friend separation stepping up.
Yeah. Many years ago, you'll remember me talking about this because you knew me then, Lee. Many years ago, I gave up TV. Do you remember that? I mean, I watch a little TV now, but I went for 7 years without watching TV because I was watching TV as a way of life. It was like what I did. I'd come home from work. I'd watch TV. I wasn't engaging in life. I had made some wonderful changes in my life, but I wasn't enjoying the impact that they could have on my life because I just had kind of gotten stuck.
And you probably just made a whole bunch of people say,
Yeah.
Take a look at themselves.
Yeah. Well, I don't think TV is bad. I just think that for me at that time, it was no longer, I wasn't even actively choosing. I was just falling into it. And that, you know, for me is kind of like addiction.
It's a rut.
Yeah, it's a rut. And that's like it is. Just like if you're riding a bicycle and it's wet ground and you get stuck in a rut, it's hard to control that bicycle. But you don't know that. You can't get up to the sidewalk again or to the back to the street or wherever it is you want to be. You're stuck in that rut, and you're going to have to ride with that until you can make the big change. Sometimes you might have to actually stop the bike and get off the bike to get out of the rut.
Oh, you mean take action?
It's a tough thing, but that's kind of what it is. How about this? How about the people that are listening and maybe you and I know it too, Lee, when nothing's wrong. How are you? Oh, I'm good. Anything up? No, everything's fine. Right?
But it's almost flat.
Yeah, it's like nothing's right, nothing's wrong. It's just blah, blah, blah.
And where's the gratitude then?
Yeah, that's true. When you're in a rut, there's often, you forget to be grateful.
Yeah.
You can find it pretty quickly if you think about it.
Gratitude?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just a question of, you know, taking a look more at my gots than my knots.
Mm-hmm. Your gots than your knots. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Look more at your gots than your knots. Like, what do you got? What do you got? I got this. I got that. You know, that's like our gratitude list that we do on the 5 on 5. Mm-hmm. If you're new to listening to the Beth Wee Radio Hour, every time at 11:35, 5 on the hour, we do 5 on 5. And it's 5 things for which we're grateful. And we try to find different things. Sometimes I poll the audience. Sometimes I'll be, there's a little diner in our town in Vero Beach, Florida, called Country Kitchen. And sometimes at the breakfast hour, you'll see me with my little book walking around asking people questions, and you'll know what I'm doing.
I'm sure there are people that are looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah, they see me with the book, and they're like, oh, she's going to come looking again to ask what's the 5 on 5, and I'll ask them what they're grateful for under a specific topic.
But it's often we try and look for 5, I wouldn't say offbeat, but things that you normally may not pay attention to or take for granted, things that you wouldn't usually. I mean, of course, I'm grateful for my kids. I'm grateful for my wife, but a little more obscure.
Yeah, something that you haven't said lately. Something you haven't really recognized that you're grateful for. That's always fun to look at.
Gratitude with a slice of Beth's weirdness.
Yes. But, you know, when we're talking about getting stuck or getting stuck in a rut, whether it's emotionally, you know, physically, sometimes it's physically. Actually, it's you take your body there and that's what you do. And then you do only the bare minimum of what you have to do to get through the day. And there's not a lot left. What's really funny for me, when I'm in that state, I don't have a lot of energy. It's like that sucks my energy dry faster than if I'm doing a million things.
Well, fatigue becomes a byproduct.
Right. And it just keeps going. You're tired. You're tired. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. I'm tired, you know. And are you really tired? Or are you really just not generating any energy?
Our friends that remember that crazy movie Blazing Saddle, that Madeline Kahn saying, let's face it, I'm pooped.
And if you've been busy and active and there's a reason that you're pooped, that's usually a good feeling. It feels good when you're tired at the end of a busy day and you're like, you sit down finally and you rest and you're like, oh man, I'm tired.
And you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be physical exhaustion, because a good mentally stimulating day will send me to bed tired.
Or emotion. You have a heavy emotional day and it's good or bad emotion.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be, you know, a negative thing. It can be something really positive, but you're pooped because, really, you're taxed.
And the negative can be draining.
Yeah, the negative can be draining, absolutely. You know, a big part, I think, of getting stuck in a rut is the loss of hope. You know, what do you think? You can't see him, but he like shook his head and went,
you know,
yeah.
I have my own perception on that, is that I don't believe in hopelessness, because what I believe is that hopelessness is something that it's a lie that a situation will convince us to believe, because in my world and in my experience, there's a power greater than me. There's a higher power. I call it God. And I don't believe that God and hopelessness can coexist. But I believe that we will believe the lie of hopelessness.
And that's what I teach. I teach that hopelessness is often mislabeled powerlessness.
Yes.
When we're powerless, we feel hopeless. And the reality is, powerlessness is the greatest point of hope. Because it's like that old quote by Abraham Lincoln. And the quote goes, I've been driven to my knees many times by the overwhelming realization that I had nowhere else to go. And when you get to your knees like that, when you get to your knees, you have only one way to go. You can only go up.
Yep.
It can only get better. And that's the beauty of powerlessness. But you have to admit your powerlessness get that hope.
There's a line in a book that we often quote, and it's, as willing as only the dying can be.
Right. But, you know, hope embodies a feeling of optimism and expectation. Mm-hmm. And it keeps us thinking that something will happen, something good. You know, something's going to happen, something's good. Do you remember that old, you an old musician?
Something West Side Story.
Something's coming.
If I can wait.
Yeah. Hope changes things, you know, it changes perspective. We look for success, you know, when we're when we're stuck in a rut or when we're stuck in complacency, we're stuck with a feeling of no hope. And that's not really a real stance. What do you think?
I keep going back to another thing that we've spoken about frequently is, you know, faith and trust. Mm-hmm. You know, faith, you know, is kind of my belief that God can do anything, and trust is my knowledge that he will.
Right.
You know, it not always on my terms and not always what I'm thinking should be done. But, you know, I just...
Yeah, I think that faith actually practiced. You practice faith. And it's a free gift. You don't have to have it. So if you're listening right now and you're like, oh, gosh, here they are talking about faith. I don't have that. Well, then just ask for it. It's a free gift. It's like a glass of orange juice on the highway, you know, where you say free orange juice. You know, you don't have to buy the whole bag of oranges.
Yeah, but the difference is you get more than an ounce.
No, yeah, we're from Florida. We're from Vero Beach, Florida. And I got to be honest, Indian River citrus is the best citrus in the world.
And it is available all over the world.
It is available all over the world, but we happen to grow it here. Our friends grow it here. We have many friends that grow the citrus. But, you know, when you see that free orange juice on the side of the road and you go over and they give you a little cup of orange juice, and you can buy oranges there and you can send oranges and you can do all that stuff, that's wonderful. But that's kind of like faith. It's a free gift. There's a sign on the free faith, just ask. And as you ask for it and as you practice it, it grows. And I believe that as faith matures, it becomes trust.
Yes.
It's just like when I have faith in a friend. It doesn't even have to be in a higher power if you're nervous about what we're talking about. Think about somebody that you started to have faith in, some person in your life that you started to have faith in. And as you spent more time with them, it grew to trust.
You found out they were worthy of it.
Yeah, and you became, and it could have been a teacher. I mean, I remember my second grade teacher. She was wonderful, Sister Augustino. You know, I only saw a part of her face, and it was, you know, she had a mustache and she was a woman, and it was, you know, but she was terrific. And I had faith in her. And as that year went on, I grew to trust that lady. And some of the things she said to that little class, to me as a little kid,
are still with you.
They're still with me. I still know that they're true because she said it and then I trusted her. We're talking today about, what do you do if you get stuck in a rut? You know, many of us get there. You get stuck in a rut. Are you stuck? Are you doing the same thing every day? Are you thinking the same thing every day? We're talking to you today. We're going to talk about some ways to get out of that rut.
Tools
that you can use that might make a difference. Some of them will require mechanism. You're going to have to do something. But you know what? Hang with us. Stay tuned. We'll get you out of that rut. Thanks
We're
for
back.
Tuning in. The music starts again. We're talking today in the studio. It's Beth Walsh Erickson and Lee Kimball, and we're talking with you about what to do if you're feeling stuck. You know that feeling where you just can't get out of your own way, or like nothing really matters. You're just going through the motions day in and day out. Life has become a march, kind of a toilsome march. And you're doing it, but there's hardly any joy. There's hardly any, you don't feel any grace. You don't notice it if it's there. It's not anything flying in your face. You just don't feel anything but kind of blah, just kind of blasé. What are you going to do with that? You know, I think the first thing, Lee, if I were talking to somebody, if somebody came to me and just said, Beth, I'm so stuck, I would say, this is great news. Because what we're talking about is awareness.
Yeah.
You're aware of it. You know, you're aware of the problem. Becoming aware of a problem is a big deal.
Nothing can change until you recognize it.
Yeah. You know, I tell that story a lot about things that you think and you don't know. Until you know different, you'll always believe it. I have beliefs from my childhood that until they were challenged as an adult, and I thought back on it, and I went, well, of course it's that way. How could it not be that way? But I hadn't challenged it, and I just went along with that belief. You know, you might have beliefs like that. you know, we're raised by people that teach us what they think or teach us what they fear. And they share those things with us, whether we know it or not. Or maybe there was no one there to explain it to you, and you made up your own solution. You made up your own understanding of it. That's the one I share.
And you mentioned we're brought up by people, and you know something? You know, remember, the best of parents are still human.
Oh, yeah. And they have their own fears and their own problems. You know, prejudice is a good example. If you're prejudiced against anyone because of a race or a sex or a religion or an ethnic background, whatever it is, you didn't come by that on your own.
It's not inborn.
Yeah. I was telling a story. There was a young man that I work with. I just love this guy. And I remember I was walking through work one day and he was there. He goes, "And I'm sorry, that goes for you too, Miss Beth." And I said, "What goes for me?" And he says, "Well, if you're ever talking about me, I don't want you to call me black. I want you to call me African American." And I said, "Oh, okay. Are your grandparents from Africa?" He said, "No." And I said, "Are your great grandparents from Africa?" He says, No. I said, "Are your great great grandparents from Africa?" He said, I don't know. And I said, "Well, my grandparents are from Ireland. All my grandparents. So I'll tell you this. If you're going to talk about me, I don't ever want you to call me white. You can call me Irish American, but don't call me white." And he looked at me and I said, "Oh, and this guy over here, he's German and English and, you know, he's going to be German, English, Native American, American." I said, "Boy, it's going to be harder for you than for us." And he started laughing. He goes, "I'm being an idiot, aren't I?" And the deal is this. When you get into some things, you believe things, you hear something, and it sounds right to you maybe, but did you really challenge it? Just challenge it in your head. Don't have a problem with somebody that doesn't have a problem with you kind of thing. Don't create a problem. But some of these things are things we already believe. We don't even know that they're in our minds. Prejudice is like that. I'll make it a hard one, okay? Because prejudice, we're thinking race now. Are all men lazy? Are all men users? Are all women out for your money?
I'm sorry. If a man says something and a woman isn't there to hear it, is he still wrong?
That's the thing, you know? I mean, those are things that you grow up kind of learning that. And if it's true or if it's not true, the reality is,
take a look at it.
Yeah. If you're given a blanket statement about a whole gender, chances are it's not true. If you're giving a blanket statement about a whole race, chances are it's not true. If you're giving a blanket statement about a whole religious group, chances are it's not true. Because that's just not how it goes. But that's what prejudice is. And prejudice is one of these things. What to do if you're stuck in that? Will you become aware of it? That's the first part. And it's the same thing when you're stuck anywhere. If you're even stuck in complacency and where you can't, you know, become aware of it, figure out if you're suffering from mixed messages at a personal level. Do you know what I mean by that? Mixed messages at a personal level. Like say you drink each night and you want to stop, but you know, "I want to stop drinking, but I'm not going to go somewhere for help. I'm not going to go to those meetings." Or say you feel lonely, but you're not going to go to like the library to take a yoga class. Forget that. I'm not doing that. You say "I'm this, but I won't do that."
It's an acknowledgement with the denial still present.
Yeah, it's like I have this, but I'm not willing to do this.
Yeah.
Ah. There comes the word that we're talking about, isn't it?
The W word.
The W word, willingness. You know, are your wants consistent with what you're willing to do? So those of you that are sitting out there going, "Oh man, she was talking to me about stuck, but now she's talking to me about willingness, and I don't like that word." Because it starts with awareness. You become aware of the problem, and then you have to become willing to make a change. You have to have, it's great to be aware of a problem, but awareness doesn't solve anything without a willingness to make a change. Jean Siriani, right? Mm. Oh, my goodness, this woman, this wonderful woman. She impacted my life greatly. And she would always say, Beth, if nothing changes, nothing changes. And I'd want to, like, ram her through the wall. I wanted to be like, oh, shut up, Jean. Quit telling me that thing. I hate that when you say that.
And it made me think of that old Guinness commercial with those two British fellows that would go, brilliant!
Brilliant, yeah.
Brilliant!
Well done, Shane. Well done.
Your timing is impeccable.
But that's the deal. You know, if nothing changes, nothing changes. So awareness is the first step. Are you suffering from mixed messages at a personal level? What I mean by those mixed messages are, you're aware that this is an issue, but you're also aware that you're not willing to do anything about it.
Well, perhaps it hasn't become uncomfortable enough yet.
Right. Yeah, it will. Willingness sometimes comes from the amount of discomfort that you're feeling.
Yeah.
That's very true. That's very true. How about the next thing? If we talk about this, what to do? So you become aware. You become aware of it. What about the next thing? Is there something about it that makes you feel afraid?
Fear. What did I hear it referred to in, or I read once, a corrosive thread that, I don't remember the exact quote.
But fear is like a corrosive thread through anything. If you think of, the material on the chair that you're sitting in. If there's a corrosive thread through there, that chair is going to rip and that seat's going to fall apart. I had that happen in my car. And it was leather, yeah. But it wasn't fear. it was an actual corrosive cut or something in it. But still, so you have a corrosive thread going through something. It's going to ruin the fabric. And that's the same thing with this. Is there something that makes you feel afraid? If you did the self-seeking, like you looked into yourself to see and became aware of what the problem is, but you're still hesitant to make a change, maybe that's the problem. Maybe there's like a hidden fear there. And that's important that you think about. When you think about the change that will help you get out of the rut, does it make you nervous?
Well, if I give this up, where am I going to be?
Absolutely. What's going to happen to me if I give it up? I would say the one thing I would say to somebody who's suffering there, if you're like going, oh, I totally get what you're talking about now, you're moving out of the now. You got to stay in the now. The only point of power is in the present moment. If you're worried about tomorrow, you're in a different place. It's not reality. You know, you can't change the past and you can't predict the future. The only point of power is now. That's why I think when the source introduced himself to Moses on that, and if you read the Torah, source introduced himself to Moses, and Moses says, what's your name? He says, my name is I Am.
Oh, so it wasn't I was or I will be?
No, it is I am. I am that I am. And that's the kind of thing. Just always remember that. If you're not in the I am state, I am whatever you are currently. If you're about, oh, I could be or I was, you're in trouble. Of course you're afraid because you're not in a place of power.
So Popeye was really enlightened.
Yeah.
I am's what I am.
That's right. We're going to take a break for the news, little news flash. We're going to come back with the 5 on 5, and we're going to talk more about this. Get out of the rut. You deserve it, baby.